And thus, somehow to compensate for our physical ailment, we came up with this spiritual idea that somehow we were better and different and unique, and that our path was different from the nations of the world. And that ultimately we would save the world through our unique messianic mission, and we would provide the moral exemplar of all of humanity. What garbage? That's what Klatskin's saying. I'm not saying that. What garbage? What nonsense? Judaism depends on form, not on content. A spiritual center is not the goal of the Zionist state. The goal is only a free national life. And thus, Klatskin excoriated Ahad HaAm for the notion that morality was the key to Israel's uniqueness. What do we mean when we talk about ethics? When we talk about ethics, we mean primarily the notion of loving everybody, of being fair to everybody, of being righteous and to every human being. The power of an ethic is to transcend national boundaries, to become universal and not the possession of one particular people. Don't tell me the Jews have a special ethical mission. They have the same ethical responsibility as Christians, as Muslims, as Hindus, as anybody. The notion of ethics is that it is universal by its very nature. And therefore, the argument that the uniqueness of the Jewish people and of the Jewish state, according to Ahad HaAm, is its ethical responsibility makes no sense in the context of the world that we live in. The spiritual definition of Judaism, so Klatskin maintained, denied freedom of thought. You should be able to think anything you want. You shouldn't have a monolithic frame of mind about what Jewish culture is. The Jewish state will be inhabited by all kinds of people. Agnostics, atheists, religious people, anybody who wants to be there, non-Jews as well. Let them do their own thing. Just a liberal state is what we really require. And if not, what this spiritual stuff leads to is national chauvinism. We want to avoid that. We want to be a normal Switzerland in the Middle East. Notice that Klatskin here is the true liberal, pointing out the contradiction in Ahad HaAm's position. But the question, of course, remains, going back to our lecture on Spinoza, can a liberal at the same time assert Jewish continuity? Can a good Jew be also a good liberal? You recall when we discussed Spinoza, we saw the problem that there was a challenge here, a contradiction. On the one hand, to be a liberal means to do your own thing. To be a Jew is to take on the responsibilities of being part of a community, whatever that entails. How can you have both? Here is Klatskin saying, all I want is a framework to do my own thing. Whatever Judaism was or will become, whatever Judaism is or will become is okay with me. I'm not going to define it beforehand as Ahad HaAm is trying to do. Or take the example of Lutzato, who we mentioned earlier. Again, the difference between Atticism and Judaism. Again, Klatskin is a good example of a person who is a Hebrew writer who is embedded in Hebrew culture, but clearly in every respect is a liberal, without any particular notion of what Jewish identity is or should be. And therefore, here's a remarkable contrast between the positions of Ahad HaAm on the one hand and Klatskin on the other. And I have one more example I want to give you of Zionist thought, which is really quite different than the other two. And it takes us for the first time to the American shores. And in mentioning a person who I'm sure all of you have heard of, if you haven't heard of Klatskin and Ahad HaAm, you certainly have heard of Louis Brandeis. Primarily because of his importance to American history as a Supreme Court justice, who also became involved as one of the leaders of Zionism within the American continent. What we have here is a particularly American view of Zionism, and that's why I thought it would be interesting to present it in contrast to all of the European scholars up to now who we have considered. Brandeis was clearly a disciple of Theodor Herzl. Brandeis was not a theologian, and therefore don't expect theology or discussions of God or religiosity in his own writing. He cared about Zionism for its political goal to create a haven for Jews who were persecuted. He loved the notion that Israel could provide refuge to all of these people who had suffered so much at the hand of anti-Semitism, writing, of course, before the Holocaust, he already anticipated the extraordinary challenges the Jewish people faced and the need to overcome them by creating a national homeland. And therefore, with his prominence as an American political figure, he utilized this this power and this name recognition to argue on behalf of the Zionist movement. What is Zionism for Brandeis? It is a movement to save disadvantaged Jews from oppression by providing them with their own homeland.